This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Heyo.
On this Monday morning in June, June 8th.
It's heating up.
The dog days are about to be here. Let's cling on to the NBA and Stanley Cup final as much as we can.
That's right. Do your part, San Antonio.
That's right.
The hockey's doing its part. Good job, hockey.
That's right, San Antonio. Try to win one of these. Game three tonight at MSG, Madison Square Garden. It will be bedlam. Bedlam in New York City today for game three. Knicks up 2-0 in that series. We'll discuss it momentarily. And then the Stanley Cup Finals, through three games. Ready for this? The greatest Stanley Cup Final there's ever been.
It's hard for me to argue against that. Yeah. It's been bonkers.
Greg Peterson will join us, talk Major League Baseball. He's got his plays for the day. Raheem Palmer going to join us, talk NBA Finals with us. Wes Reynolds in his normal Monday spot. Carl Sack on the NBA Finals, game number three tonight. He will join us as well on the show. And then we're looking forward to this more than anything probably today, with apologies to all of our guests. But Kelly and I, not officially in the VSiN Splash Sports Survivor Contest because we're not allowed to, being in the state of Nevada, but we're going to do our mock. World Cup Survivor mock.
If you could have seen,
and by mock I mean mockery.
I don't know what was going through your head when I texted you on Saturday morning. But if you could have seen me, like that's like that Charlie Day gif, right? Like if you could have seen me after like 27 minutes going through World Cup brackets and writing down who my survivor, I was okay. Like, oh my god, I've spent so much time
so
on this.
So glad
I'm
you
like,
said
I'm
this.
Like, I better text Gil right away of this is the way we're doing this because I can't do it any other way. Now
I'm
this
so
way.
Glad you said this because. None of it, right? None of once it gets to the knockout round, there's no. If you look at groups A through, what does it go through? L,
something like
right?
that. Yeah,
yeah. A through L. There's no order to what happens after that, right? Like group D2 faces group G2 or whatever
right.
it is, right? I got to the point where it was so ridiculous to try to do it that I just gave up on it.
Yeah, which is fun. If you are playing in this, right, you kind of have to do that and hope that your bracket is going to be closer than what it ends up being.
You do, but I almost think it's overkill.
I almost think it's overkill.
Well, Kelly and I will tell you anyway what our first four survivalists, that's the first task in the Splash Sports World Cup Survivor Challenge. You got to pick four teams to advance out of the group stage. That's the first task. As far as everything after that, we'll worry about that later.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind, all four have to advance. You lose any of your four, I lose any of my four, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't be that hard, right? Right?
No, come on, Gil.
It's 12 groups, and there's four teams. There's 48 teams, and 32 make it to the knockout stage.
It's just grabbing.
Only 16 teams get eliminated.
So it's like when we talk NFL Survivor, right? It's just great going through, like, who am I so confident in to make it out of a group and then lose immediately afterward?
Right. That's the whole task here, right?
Yep.
That's the if you're doing it perfectly, that's the way to do it. We'll talk about that. Let's just real quick, Stanley Cup Finals, because Stanley Cup Final, singular, mm-hmm. deserves more than the NBA at this point. Three games in. We obviously didn't get a chance to talk about game three, but we have had just the three most awesome games. The first game, remember, Carolina's up 2 goals. No team on the road has ever come back from multiple goal deficit in a Stanley Cup game number one. And Vegas goes ahead and does it. Entering that game, road teams, I should say, were 0-55 when down multiple goals at any point in a Stanley Cup final game number one. And Vegas comes back, wins that game. 1-0 Vegas. And then remember, Vegas takes a 2-0 lead in game two. At that point, midway through the third period, you're like, this team's never losing a hockey game ever again. And then Carolina says, hold my beer, watch this. And they come back. Vegas does force overtime. Carolina wins game two in overtime. Just bananas. Turnabout is fair play in game two. Game three, we come back to T-Mobile this weekend. And The Golden Knights go up 4-0. 4-0 on the quickest hat trick in the history of the Stanley Cup final. Mitch Marner, 6 minutes, 10 seconds. He had a 4-point second period. Historic.
Mm-hmm.
Just unbelievable. Conn Smythe is his. 4-0 Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, he is a bigger favorite in that market than the Golden Knights are to win it.
Well, at that point, it was lockadocious, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, lockadocious, by the way. And then the third period, the Carolina Hurricanes scored 3 goals in a span of 39 seconds. And you're like, what the what? I believe is verbatim what you said. And the Hurricanes force overtime, and they go to overtime. They play into a second overtime period, and the Golden Knights end up winning it 5-4. Carolina basically had 2 own goals in this game.
Yep.
Shea Theodore gets the credit, original Golden Knight, and the Golden Knights win 5-4. And if you're a Golden Knights backer or a Golden Knights fan, it was more relief than elation. It was just like, good God, if we had lost this game.
It was locked up. It was done.
It was done.
Right? It was done.
I believe lockadocious was said earlier on the show. 5-4, Golden Knights they win that game 5-4. The only thing that's
Well said. It was relief. I was out, too.
Total relief.
I was out. I could feel the tenseness of every Golden Knights fan out on the strip watching the final seconds of that game. It was relief with that goal went in.
It's been incredible. The only thing that's been tried and true through all these, the overs, has just been an overfest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you think you're handicapping the sides on these. You're a better man or woman than I, if you think you are. Game 4 tomorrow night back in Vegas. Canes trying to knot it back up at 2-2. Golden Knights trying to take the 3-1 lead. What a series so far.
6 players all time that have won the Conn Smythe on the losing team. So only 6. I actually thought it would be more than that. You got right now over at FanDuel, Mitch Marner -230. And the Golden Knights are -188.
If you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan and you're watching Marner do this, for all those postseason appearances, and the number of goals he scored in the postseason combined with Toronto, he's already exceeded that with the Vegas Golden Knights. It's incredible, man. It's absolutely incredible. We'll see where that goes tomorrow night. And then there's the NBA Finals, where the New York Knicks Friday night took a, it seems like it's forever ago at this point.
Sure does.
2-0 lead over the San Antonio Spurs. And this, I was on, Johnny Stremski and Will Hill were kind enough to have me on yesterday morning to discuss this game. It's a super interesting handicapping case study tonight for Game 3 at Madison Square Garden. The Knicks are a 2-point favorite. 2.5, right? Got to look around. 2 is the consensus on the New York Knicks. And most people look at that, right? The Knicks are up 2-0 in this series. They have it on their racket back at MSG. Most people who look at that are like, wow, how is this only 2? And it's fascinating because, yes, the Knicks are up 2-0, both on the away court, right? Mm-hmm. No team in the history of the NBA, we've talked about this in the Spurs case, has ever lost the first 2 games at NBA Finals at home, and come back to win the series. It's never happened before. There have been 5 instances where a team down 2-0 has won the NBA Finals, but they were down 2-0 the conventional way.
Right.
Right? Losing on the road the first 2 games. So the Spurs are up against that. But as far as tonight's concerned, and you know, John's a New York guy, and I was listening to their segment before I was on, and I think I agree with him when he was saying, he goes, listen, the controversial, remember the Spurs came back from a 14-point deficit. They erased it, but then there was the foul on the Anunoby 3-pointer. And I think correctly, I think it had to be called.
Man.
I don't think there was a controversy. I really, and I'm a Spurs guy,
yeah,
right? I got the Spurs 19-1 ticket. I think you have to call that. And then the Wemby turnover, right? Rebound Spurs, 9 seconds left. Wemby passes it to Castle. Castle turns his head as Wemby is throwing it. By the way, where do you put the blame on that play?
I've decided I'm not blaming any one individual.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's mostly Wemby, but I think it's a combination. I think it's bad luck. You go and rewatch that play. It's Castle looking back at him, soon as Wemby stops the pass, he turns his head and starts going up court.
I was Zapruder filming it. I was trying to figure out. I was like, it's both those guys. But anyway, and then Brunson gets fouled right on the steal, I think you, despite the flop or whatever, the embellishment, I think you have to call that foul.
It was a foul.
Right? Now, I say that and I'm like, I wonder if New York Knicks backers and fans would be this objective if it was reversed.
Right.
Right? So I believe all those things. And the Knicks deserve both of those games, both games 1 and 2. But for this game tonight, what I think is so interesting is the Spurs did have double-digit leads in both games 1 and 2. The Spurs did lead late in both of these games.
Mm-hmm.
First game, Wembanyama was 6 of 21. He was much better in game 2, but game 2, the Spurs missed 8 free throws. The Spurs made obviously, the turnover we just talked about was obviously the big blunder, but there's plenty of other things in game 2, right, where Wembanyama missed a dunk and it went the other way. Basically, what I'm saying is, Knicks absolutely deserve to be up 2-0, but there's a world where this is not 2-0, it's 1-1, and maybe it's 2-0 the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's why the line is what it is and why it's not moving despite Knicks cash.
Yeah, line makes pretty good sense to me, right? We closed at like 6, 6.5 in San Antonio, whatever, you know, what we're weighing home court for in these playoffs. This has been a fairly normal swing. And yeah, I don't think that there's... I mean, Knicks have been a better team. They've been the better team so
when
far through.
When it mattered, they were the better team.
When it's mattered, especially, they've been the better team. So, yeah, like, I feel the same way. We've seen these Spurs leads late. The games could have gone either way. But, you know, the other thing I'll give the Knicks, too, I don't think we've seen the best game out of them yet either. That's where I don't think we've seen it out of San Antonio, and I don't think we've seen it out of New York. So credit to them for getting 2 wins so far, and Mike Brown's been completely out coaching Vince Johnson.
There was the Fox, the Dylan Harper disappearance in the fourth quarter of game 1. That was also an interesting thing. Knicks favored by 2. We'll talk more about it with all of our guests. We'll talk more about it after the break. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number 2 of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Hey!
In the house on this Monday morning. Carl Sack will join us later on the show, talk NBA Finals. Raheem Palmer standing by to talk NBA Finals with us. Raheem from The Ringer and FanDuel TV. Wes Reynolds as well. I wonder if Wes, did Wes see the Earth, Wind, and Fire doc yet? Wind, and Fire documentary premiered last night on HBO Max.
I did. You know, it was funny. I was flipping around channels, and I saw it was on. I did put it on for like 3 minutes, and I moved on. I was like, Gil's going to be talking about this tomorrow.
No, I was too tired to start. I have to be alert. Take the Beatles out of this. They're the greatest band that's ever existed.
HBO did them right, man. Last night it was
group who's ever existed.
You know how they keep just like rerunning something if it's big that night? It was like on like 5 consecutive hours.
It's got to be awesome. We get tweets beating the book. Rick Zapsky going back and forth about the whole thing. He said, balanced starting 5, where all 5 players bring something to the table and a great bench. How they win might be different, but how the teams are built are the same. I guess that's back to the... This year's Knicks comparison to the 04 Pistons. Oh, I'll let those guys battle it out on that. Dennis Zelensky just bet all Hoops Peterson baseball bets into a parlay at 100-1. Play ball. Not that easy. Okay. And Klee Picks, not to be confused with Cleve TA, Klee Picks, guys, you are correct on Parker, just wrong on the year. Yeah, I thought so. 07, Tony Parker was the best player on that Spurs team in the sweep of the LeBron James, Drew Gooden, Eric Snow Cavs. Also not sure if it qualifies, but don't forget they gave the 2015 Finals MVP to Andre Iguodala over Steph for slowing down LeBron to 35-13-8. That's great. Well, you got to slow him down to 35-13-8. Got to give him the MVP.
Tim Duncan was better 7 years earlier.
No, for sure. For sure you're right about that.
That's where I would Tim Duncan on that team. He was an old man in 2014. Tim Duncan was still great.
We forgetting something.
I love it. We might be. I love these types of topics because I knew we were going to get a few great tweets.
Let's talk some NBA Finals this year. This is a gentleman who not only works at The Ringer and FanDuel TV. You can follow him on Twitter at I am Rostradamus. But he's been on the Knicks every which way in games one and two. I'm not sure he's going to stop in game three. He's just back from Sweden, where he's going to brag to us a little bit about his trip to Sweden. It's Raheem Palmer back on the show. How you doing, Raheem?
Man, life is good. I'm a little jet lagged, but, you know, we were in Sweden all last week, Stockholm, partying it up, 20th anniversary party for Spotify, you know, Travis Scott performed, you know, we were betting the Knicks, watching the Knicks at like 2:30 in the morning. I had everybody in the gym at 5 a.m., so it was a great trip.
Wow. And he explained to me, Spotify owns The Ringer, Spotify headquartered in Sweden. I didn't know any of these things. So that's why Sweden was the trip.
I basically did the same thing last week.
Did you?
It was just, you know, here, yeah.
Good for you, Raheem. I never have this kind of life.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
never,
great.
Never works out for me that way. Raheem, before this series started, you were all about the Knicks. You took them in game one with the points on the money line. You took them in game two with the points on the money line. Why did you have so much conviction on the Knicks in this series?
So first things first, if you go back to the in-season tournament championship, you know, the Knicks were laying 2.5 on a neutral court. And I actually thought that line was absurd because – if you ask me, the Thunder were laying like 10 to the Spurs. So you're telling me that the Thunder were like 7 points better than the Knicks at the time? I just didn't buy that. So I bet the Knicks in the in-season tournament. They played again on December 31st. And if you watch that game, the Knicks were dominating that game, completely dominating that game. And then, you know, they blew like a 15-point lead. Julian Champagne hit 11 threes, and the Spurs end up winning. So then they played again on March 1st. And I think the Knicks opened up as 1-point favorites. Sharps hit it and made it Spurs minus one. I came in on the Knicks plus one. And I'm like, this is an absurd line. So I basically am betting the Knicks in this matchup the entire year. Like literally the entire year I've been betting it. So then I run my model before this, you know, the finals. And I make this number Spurs minus 140. And I actually make the Spurs 2.5-point favorites for game one and two. So obviously I'm in it to win it. I'm betting the Knicks every which way. I'm betting them before the series, and I'm also betting them games one and two on the money line and the spread. And here's the more important thing. If you look at Victor Wembanyama, he dominated the Thunder this season. They pretty much won all of his minutes. Well, against the Knicks, that hasn't been the case. You go back to December 16th, Wemby lost his minutes, minus 18. You go back to March 1st, they lost his minutes, minus 15. You go to the game one, minus three. Even game two, he was plus six, but that required the Spurs to go on a 12-0 run at the end of the game. So Wemby hasn't been that superstar-level impact against this Knicks team, and I think they're his kryptonite. So that's why I like the Knicks in this series, because I feel like they have guys where they can throw at him in Karl Anthony Towns and Mitchell Robinson.
And you got him plus 170 before the series started based on everything you just talked about. To the person, no names, to the person who would say, okay, that's great, Raheem, it's worked out for you, but Spurs led by double digits in both games one and two. Wemby was 6 of 21 in game one. Spurs missed 8 free throws in game two. Knicks deserve both games, right? But it could very easily, then of course the turnover at the end of game two when Wembanyama and Stephon Castle's, you know, head turns and Wembanyama throws it to him. What about the person who says, yeah, this could very easily be 1-1. Maybe even there's a world where the Spurs are up 2-0 after leading in double digits and having late leads in both games. You would say what to that person?
You know, at the end of the day, it is you are betting prices. So if you ask me, I think what were the Spurs to open this series? You're talking about in the minus 200 range. I just didn't think that was the case. So I felt like I had an edge regardless because I had the Spurs in a minus 140 range. I thought, you know, they're about 57% chance of winning as opposed to what the market says. So I felt like I had an edge in that regard anyway. But then if you look at the way the games played out, the Spurs had an 8-0 run late in the fourth quarter of game one. And then they had a 12-0 run late in the fourth quarter of game two. So, you know, you move this series on the road, and I don't know if they're going to get those same runs in clutch time. And then more importantly, if you look at, like, Wemby's not having the impact on the court that he's had in previous series, But more importantly, when he's off the court, they're really struggling. When Wemby is off the court, they're a minus 28 and a half. So it just feels like the Knicks bench and the Knicks role players are better in this series. So I feel like I have an edge regardless.
Tim Bowers, right as you're saying that, tweets, prediction, Spurs get an 8-10 point lead in the second quarter. The Knicks get back in the game when Wemby goes to the bench. So maybe not the exact script you're talking about, but obviously highlighting the Wemby goes to the bench part. So I guess same, third verse, same as the first couple for you, Raheem, on this. You're going with the Knicks again tonight?
So I am going with the Knicks, but I have to preface this. This is a very, very difficult handicap because we all know that this is a market. Like this is not, you know, things don't stay the same. So in game one, in game two, obviously the Spurs were 6.5 point favorites. And my model had the Knicks plus 2.5. But in this one, my model actually has the Knicks minus 1.5. And I think I have another model that has this minus 1.7. I got to remind everybody that on March 1st, the Knicks closed as 1-point favorites. I mean, 1-point dogs. So you kind of have to ask yourself, you know, did they make too much of an adjustment? I mean, you're looking at like a 7.5 point, like pretty much an 8-point line move from games 2 to 3. So this is really, really tough for me, but I can't see this Knicks team losing at home. And I also think there's an experience factor, which is tough for the Spurs to overcome. So I'm going to pay to see it. I'm laying it with the Knicks on the money line minus 130, but I do have to preface this. There's only been 3 teams in NBA history have lost the first 2 games at home. Obviously the Spurs are the third. You go back to 1993. The Suns lost the first 2 games at home. They won game 3 in triple overtime, outright as 8-point underdogs. You go back to 1995, the Magic. They lost the first 2 games at home. They lost game 3 by 3. They covered as 4-point road underdogs. So if this line were higher, I probably would find myself on the Spurs. If this were like 3 or 4, you know, based on my model being Knicks minus 1.5, I probably would be on the Spurs. But the fact that this line is, you know, 2, and I can get minus 130 on the Knicks at home in this spot, you know, with the experience factor, I'm gonna lay it with the Knicks. And if the Spurs beat me, I can live with it. I mean, I've won 13 straight games on the Knicks. I have enough money to play with.
93 series that you reference is the Barkley versus Jordan series, where Barkley says is our destiny, and Jordan said to him, "It's your destiny to lose to us." And then 95 95 was the Magic team where Nick Anderson missed the 4 consecutive free throws in game 1 for the Orlando Magic of that series. Okay, and you have a prop bet tonight, Raheem, before you go?
Yeah, I'm going with Landry Shamet over 8.5 points. This guy's averaging 6.5 three-point attempts per game. So, you know, I think the volume is there for him to get over here. And, you know, I think this should probably go over easily. He's hit 13 points in the last 2 games. The volume of 3-point attempts that he's taken, I'll take this bet anytime.
Landry Shamet over 8.5 points tonight for the Knickerbockers tonight at MSG. Raheem, because I know you love such things, have you been to Carbone Riviera yet?
I have. I've been multiple times.
Multiple times. Wow. I forgot who I was talking to.
I'll be honest with you. The regular Carbone is better.
See, I was prepared to say that, but then I had an unbelievable pasta. So I don't know.
Lobster pasta?
The crab pasta. It was ridiculous.
Oh, the crab pasta. Okay.
It was ridiculous.
They both sound terrible.
They were
lobster pasta, crab pasta. Tremendous. Yeah, awful.
Raheem Ballmer.
You know what it is, though? I mean, the regular Carbone is home. I got guys over there. Shouts to my guy Bernie. Shouts to my guy Nick. Like, they treat me like family. So Raheem, it's kind of hard to, like, I was just at the regular Carbone last week,
Raheem,
before I left for Sweden.
We live in the same house, but in different rooms, apparently. I know all those guys. We gotta show up there together at some point, right?
We do. We really. You know what? Y'all sent me. It was so crazy. When the Super Bowl was here, y'all sent me an invite. Yeah. I think it was you and Rufus Peabody and Kelly, and I couldn't make it for whatever reason. I don't know why, but we got to do it again.
We don't hold it against you. Raheem Palmer, everybody, from The Ringer and FanDuel TV. You can find him on Twitter at I am Rostradamus. Raheem, great seeing you. Next time you go to Sweden, maybe send us an invite as well. We appreciate it.
Most definitely. Y'all have a good one.
You too. Coming back with Wes Reynolds and some other stuff. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, don't forget about the Just Win Bets Baby podcast. The duo that has had Kelly Bidlin on the show. Has had Danny Higgins on the show. Has Danny been on the show?
Yeah.
Wyatt Tomchek's been on the show. 20 leagues, one mission, Just Win Bets Baby is your premier source for daily sports betting picks. They break down the data so you can bet with confidence across the entire sports calendar. Scan the QR code or visit justwinbetsbaby.com today and start betting smarter with Just Win Bets Baby. The name says it all. They even they tweeted into the show as well today. They said, decision time, my friends. Cash out or let it ride. He's got Vegas to win the Stanley Cup at plus 950. Current cash out is... I can't really understand what the cash out is here. Nonetheless, my response to this would be, you bet them for a reason and they're up 2-1. Why are you looking to cash out? Why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Agreed. Justin D. 0304 Pistons versus 25-26 Knicks. What would Chrissy Andrews line be? LOL. we laugh because Chrissy hates more than anything those kinds of questions. Hates the numbers guys. Good morning, Gilly. Will you have any tennis plays this week? Probably not. First week of grass. Kelly, by the way, Serena playing doubles tomorrow. Hey, that's exciting. Victoria and Boko.
At the Queens Club?
Yes.
Which, by the way, I think that...
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah, right?
Where the brick building is right on the court. I love that.
I love it, too. I walked in this morning. I was like, oh, yeah, I think I have this reaction every year when I see it, but it's awesome.
It's so great. He said, Kelly, does this quasi-slump of Scotty's come to an end at Shinnecock? Doesn't he usually play the week before a major?
Sure. It there's a very good chance it comes to an end. He's not going to... He doesn't play the RBC Canadian Open.
No. I'm just saying, though. Just like we talked about a couple weeks ago, we're getting to the point here where this is going to creep up. Scotty can't win a tournament. All of a sudden, it's going to be a thing.
You know what? I didn't really dig into his stats afterward, but I was sitting on the couch yesterday thinking, watching him play, and you're like, oh, there he is. There he is, top 20. Remember we were sitting here on Friday being like, oh, he's going to miss the cut.
Yeah, yeah.
Still pretty good.
By the way, here was the assist leader before we get Wes on. Here was, we didn't have the graphic up for the visual among you. This was the NBA Finals assist leader graphic. Those are the total number of assists through two games for those ball players. Those are the current odds, just to be thorough about it.
Yeah, not listed, by the way. Mikal Bridges, who does have 9, just one off the lead.
Not listed.
Yeah, not listed. Just, just throw it out there in case you got other books you could look at. Keep that in mind.
Poetic license by the bookmaker is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Wes Reynolds joins us now, ladies and gentlemen, from a, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at WesReynolds1. That's the number one part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. Wes, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Gil. Good morning, Kelly. How are you guys?
We're doing very well. First, let's get this out of the way. You have not watched the Earth, Wind & Fire documentary on HBO Max yet.
I have not. That is the plan to do this week. Like we were saying last week, it should have come out on the 21st night of September, but maybe didn't have the foresight to make that happen. But I am looking forward to it because I think that, I don't want to say underrated because, they're Rock and Roll Hall of Famers and they're obviously legends and still doing it all these years later. But I feel like they're kind of one of the overlooked bands, right? So I'm glad that Questlove and all the production people behind this are kind of giving these guys their flowers a little bit here.
Are they overlooked? They're the greatest group of all time. You take the Beatles, just the Beatles are in their own category. Earth, Wind & Fire is the greatest group of all time. I met Maurice White, but he already had MS, so it wasn't like a full, I didn't feel like it was a full meet where I got to really meet the man. But all of what they did, it was so different. Everything they did sounded so different. To this day, it sounds different from everybody else. All from that one man. And if I may, Kelly Bidlin, because I don't think I've ever told this story before, I had a bar mitzvah, this just in, when I was 13 years old. That's awesome. That's when people of my ilk become men. And part of the bar mitzvah, I don't know if you know this, you sing a Torah portion.
Oh, yes.
Do you know this? Okay. My Torah portion, because I was a perfectionist as a 13-year-old, right? In order to sing it, I wanted to have the same note to start every time. You know how I figured out how to have this start on the same note? The first note of Earth, Wind, and Fire's Getaway. That's how I started my Torah portion. Rabbi didn't know that. My mom didn't know that. But that's how I did it. Earth, Wind, and Fire's Getaway, the first note, was the first note of my Torah portion. I wonder if Questlove covers that in the documentary. I wonder.
Well, did you have the Philip? Did you do the Philip Bailey falsetto?
No, I did
on
not.
That verse note.
No, I did not.
So you weren't. You don't quite become a man to hit that high note. Right. So you didn't have a Peter Brady moment there.
That was the proper follow up question, though, Wes. I do give you props on that. Let me ask you about the NBA Finals. You are dialed in, as we all are on this. You have a couple plays here tonight. Let's just begin with the side itself. How are you playing this?
Yeah, and I think I'm going to play a little bit more, you know, kind of split them, where I'm looking maybe first quarter and first half, you know, maybe have something on the full game. But I think that that might be the way to go, you know, simply because you do have a team down 2-0. And the Spurs, I thought, look, they were really outplayed in game two and yet still had a chance, should have had a better chance there at the end, by the way, because I think a lot of what is glossed over, because obviously people remember Wemby's pass to Castle, where Castle's not even looking for the ball because Castle's thinking Wemby's going to take it. It's like, well, you're the lead guard, dude. Brutal. You're the one that's going to set up the offense, right? And they're not looking, and then Wemby compounds it by fouling. But one of the things that hadn't been mentioned a lot, did you notice on that last possession when they get the rebound and it's tied at 104, Mitch Johnson, who I think we all – think is like a rising star in NBA coaching. He's kind of this modern day, you know, he embraces analytics and, you know, kind of coaches basketball like the way that the game is played now. But you notice situational basketball maybe a little bit weak, as I hit my mic there, where he's kind of like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. It's like, dude, you want to get the last shot, right? If you don't even get a good look, at least you're going to go to overtime. So I think, you know, that's the kind of the difference maybe between like a Mike Brown and a Mitch Johnson, because Mike Brown, I know, probably doesn't get, you know, as much respect as he deserves, having been to the finals and whatnot, won four times as an assistant with Golden State. But it's like, you've been there before. You've been in those situations, and Mitch Johnson really hasn't. So I thought that materialized in game two. But I do like the Spurs tonight, you know. I think that it's a bounce back, whereas you think the team that's down 2-0, right, all the pressure's on them. Pressure's kind of on the home team, too, because of all this, you know, 1973 and, you know, first finals game since 1999. And, you know, with a certain guest coming tonight, are you going to get, you know, a late arriving crowd, which I think you could have potentially in the Garden because of security. Now they got to get there early. So I think the Spurs maybe come out a little bit looser early on in the first quarter in the first half. So that's the way I'm playing it.
Plus a half for the first half, plus a half a point for the first half, plus 2.5 for the game. You're gonna stick with that as well? Okay.
Yes, and also the quarter. If you want to go first quarter, I think there's still some pick'em out there. I know Circa has a pick'em and a couple others because you're starting to see maybe like minus a half, minus $1.05, because we know people like to play that angle. So the books aren't going to give you a cookie here. Like they're going to tax that, obviously, with the desperate team down to come out early. But I do think that they follow suit and they come out very well early tonight.
You know where I thought you were going with that Mitch Johnson aside? Do you think Mitch Johnson should have called timeout?
Yeah.
That was the other thing. I was like, well.
Yes.
That was always an option.
Yes.
That's where you and I were texting right after that play. It's whose fault is it? I'm like, that's where I could put blame on three different people here. Yep. And I think it starts with him. Because it is either these guys got to know what they're going to do out in a situation like that, or you got to call a timeout.
Dude.
Well, I don't know what your hurry is. I don't know. You know, with 14 seconds left to go, it's like, you get this to overtime and you're the Spurs and you've kind of been swimming upstream or running uphill, whatever analogy you want to use, virtually the whole game, except for the first quarter. You want to get that to overtime. Like, that's a win for you if you get that to overtime. I think at home, you'll take your chances. And it's like, even if you get a bad shot after a timeout in a tie game, you'll take that. And I just thought, you know, maybe a little bit of mismanagement there in terms of late game situations.
And Brunson makes one of two. Wemby misses the potential game winner, and the rest is history. You have a prop bet tonight as well, Wes.
Yeah, and usually I'm going kind of against what I like to do here, because oftentimes when you get an increase in price, I like to kind of sell, or you like to buy a dip when somebody has a couple disappointing games. But I'm going to play Dylan Harper over points and rebounds here. And it has climbed. I think it started at like 14.5 in the series, and now it's going – or 15.5, I should say. And now it's going to 19.5. They got to have him on the floor at the end of the game, period. And you saw he kind of, I think, lifted them to that rally late when Castle went to the bench, when he kind of tweaked the ankle a little bit. Harper's your best transition guard. The Spurs want to play in transition. Knicks are obviously taking that away well enough, but Harper's the guy that really pushes the pace, and you got to have him on the floor. I think you see him get a lot bigger minutes tonight, so that's why you've seen the bump in price.
I like it.
Wes going, Dylan Harper, over 18.5 points and rebounds. Lay a little juice on that, about minus 125. More with Wes on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That was far more fun than I imagined it would be, the World Cup Survivor thing.
Oh, and you put two sharp soccer minds together.
That's right.
start going through the field of the World Cup.
I do have one word for you, though. Overlay.
That's right.
Overlay, people. Championship season is here, by the way. VSiN Pro can help you bet it smarter for a limited time. Lock in early bird pricing on our football season special for just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get with full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. That means the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final, World Cup, plus MLB all summer long. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. And on June 22nd, we will release our NFL betting guide to attack futures, win totals, division races, and the full season ahead. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. It's trippy, man. Stanley Cup Final going on. NBA Finals going on. Of course, that with both will soon end. But right around the corner, and I'm talking 3 days from now, the World Cup, and then the NBA Draft, June 23rd. All the stuff we're not even necessarily thinking of front of mind are happening as well this month. We get tweets beating the book. Always appreciate it from everybody. Best listeners ever. Best listeners in the game. Say hey, 024. Proud Italian-American here, despite the name. Consolation is Carbone jarred sauce best on the market. Say that again. Consolation is Carbone jarred sauce best on the market. Is there a sauce called Consolation? Maybe that's what he's talking about.
I don't know.
J. Peak, 16-694. Got West Virginia to win it all, 100-1 on February 19th for pizza money. All right, J. Peak, good for you. Brian M., not only do I always bet the wrong Højgaard and Fitzpatrick, but I also get the wrong Contreras brother and the unrelated Lowe or Lau in Major League Baseball. World be free. Is it possible to move Carl Sack to Thursdays? Would love to hear Gil promoting Sack and Crack. Zach and Sack and Crack is what it would be. Zach and Sack and Crack. Montreal Max, will we ever get the relaxed weekend Gil look that popped up on my VSiN screen over the weekend on a Zoom with a bay shot in the distance, sans glasses, and wearing an SFFD blue t-shirt, giving off that offshore book owner vibe, dropping by the office on ANG? I don't know, Montreal Max. It's kind of my Cali look.
Where was that shot coming? Oh, this was this past weekend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sunday morning yesterday. Oh, yeah. Money Gun Guz, happy Monday, Gil and Kelly, signing up for millions and Survivor as we speak. There you go. And Shrek McPhee backs me up on South Korea. Says South Korea is a very good squad, just not the publicity. Great history beating Germany and Spain in recent tournaments, too.
Chris Felica weighs in with a South Korea absolutely advancing.
Thank you.
We got it covered, Felica.
Mm-hmm.
You get your time on Friday. Remember, I spent dozens of minutes on this weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, Carl Sack joins us on a Tuesday. Sorry, didn't do the rhyme thing. Oh, excuse me, on a Monday. We didn't do the rhyme thing on a Thursday. He joins us now. He's the proprietor of KillerSports.com. You may know him as the NBA guru from his Dr. Bob days. A man who moves markets when he releases NBA plays. Carl joins us now from outside of Denver or inside of Denver, Colorado. I believe he said he was Denver proper. Is that true, Carl?
That is true. Hey, thanks for having me on. I like the sound of Sack and Crack.
Well, now that you put it that way. Yeah, I don't think so.
Is it layover or overlay?
Oh, did I say layover? I meant overlay.
No, that was off the air.
Oh, yeah, no.
Just
I was thinking off air. I was like, layover. That's what I have on my flight this coming weekend. Overlay. That's what I'm looking for. This is the VSiN Killer Sports NBA Playoff Challenge standings. And ladies and gentlemen, young Gil is about to clinch. Only Kyle Akins can mathematically tie me. But the master stroke, let me just say this. The master stroke was not me not playing the other night, which was a good stroke because everybody died on the vine. That anyone who had a like even remote chance to beat me. But Carl Sack is the clever one because everybody was on the Spurs. Carl, who believed in the Spurs covering the spread, but for contest purposes, Carl was like, I'm going to pull the okey-doke here. I'm going to take the Knicks plus the points. And so Carl, by the way, second place gets money too.
Yeah, heated battle for second.
So Carl's like, I'm not giving up second. But the race for second is heated. Carl Sack, you did that for contest strategy, right? Specifically.
Yeah, totally. Unfortunately, you get to this point in the contest and it's not necessarily, you know, pick who you think's going to win. It's pick how you think you can leapfrog some people. And I did bet San Antonio in game two and was rooting for them, but at least, you know, gained some ground in the contest.
Yeah. Well, we've really enjoyed the contest for a second season. We really appreciate you coming up with this because it made the playoffs that much more fun, that much more interesting. People get super competitive, so it was real fun to play. The VSiN Killer Sports NBA Playoff Challenge, part deux, second annual. Steve Fezzik was the first year champ on these. Look at Fezzik. He's still in it. He's in fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Stevie Fezzik, always involved, always a part of the festivities. How do you feel about game three tonight, Carl? What's the play?
You know, I don't have anything that I feel great about. I think it's certainly a San Antonio spot. You know, they're going to be desperate. Their season's on the line. I think all the situational stuff supports them, both team specific and, you know, general high level stuff. I don't think San Antonio's lost. Has San Antonio lost three in a row all year?
I don't believe so.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's but. You know, from a pure power rating perspective, looking at these teams, like Knicks are only a 2-point home favorite. I mean, it's hard to argue that the Knicks aren't the better team at this point, especially in the situation. Like, you know, you look at all the experience that they have, and Anobi's won a title. You know, they've just it kind of dawned on me, and I'm embarrassed that I didn't notice it earlier. But about middle of the second quarter of last game. All the experience that this Knicks team has in comparison to the San Antonio team where, you know, no one on San Antonio has gotten a playoff win other than what, like Fox and Barnes. Barnes doesn't even really play, but like, it's just there's such an experience advantage here. And so long story short, I don't think I'm going to be betting this game. I think I'm going to be rooting for San Antonio, and then hopefully that sets up with a nice spot to come back and grab the Knicks in game four. More than anything, I just like to see this not be a sweep and, you know, have it be an interesting series.
I think I will be on the Spurs. Well, I know I will be on the Spurs tonight in the VSiN Killer Sports Bracket Challenge. One, because I have to put in some plays. At this point, I could run out of games.
Mm.
So you got to put in at least one tonight. I will be on the Spurs in that one. And I do believe in that. There's, you know, what you were just talking about. There is the Spurs haven't lost three in a row. Again, I went through, you know, this easily could be 1-1. Easily could be Spurs 2-0. It's not. They don't deserve to be 1-1 or up 2-0. Knicks got it done. But from a handicapping standpoint, that does not necessarily mean that is likely to be the same result. Spurs had big double-digit leads in both games. They had leads late. Wemby was terrible in game one. Spurs missed a lot of free throws, right? We don't all talk about free throws. They missed a lot of free throws in game two. I think there's some Mitch Johnson trends as well in this game where when the Spurs lose two in a row, they come back and cover at a really high rate as well. So anyway, back to that point about three in a row. The series itself, if somebody said to you, okay, would I take a Spurs adjusted series price at this point? You would say what to them?
No, I would not. Not at the current line. The current line I'm seeing, I think it was like minus 440 or something I looked at for the Knicks. And if you go back historically, history of the NBA, teams up 2-0. They win 92% of the time.
Yeah.
So this line should be even higher. And it's, you know, that's 2-0 period. We're talking now it's 2-0 and they're coming home. Unfortunately, you know, statistically speaking, I think this series is over, but like I said, I'm going to root for San Antonio tonight and we'll see what happens.
Have you ever just historically, Carl, we were just trying to put this in historical context earlier on the show, but I'll ask it from a handicapping standpoint. Do you ever remember a team where you had, we've had some variation of this, but I'll ask it this way, a team where you believed them to be one thing heading into the playoffs, a sort of a middling or a little above middling team in one conference that then you had to just sort of rethink over and over as a postseason went on to the point now where they're on the cusp of winning an NBA championship. Is there any comp for this in your memory?
I don't think there's a great comp, but off the top of my head, I think it was a few years ago when the Miami Heat came in as an 8 seed and ended up going to the finals.
Yeah.
I don't know. Has an 8 seed ever made it to the finals? I mean, granted, they ended up losing in the finals. I believe that was to Denver. But yeah, they ended up upsetting the 1 seed Milwaukee Bucks in the first round, and I lost a lot of money on that.
Yeah, me too. I was mentioning yesterday on the show, there was a Jordan team. One of the Jordan championships was kind of like a middling Eastern Conference team, but they had Jordan.
They had Jordan.
So I always knew that there was always that possibility, but you have to go way back to that for me to sort of think of a comp. You're right. The Heat, recent Heat run as an 8 seed was probably the closest to this. We shall see. Carl, appreciate it all, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Have a great day.
You too. Carl Sack, everybody. KillerSports.com. Contest.KillerSports.com.